Well, good morning. If you don't know who I am this morning, I am Pastor Mark Collins. You know, in the Philippines, I'm used to getting called Pastor Mark, even though I haven't pastored for quite a long time now. But that's the first time in Living Waters I've ever been called Pastor Mark. So I'm not sure what's going on. Have I had a promotion? I don't know anything about it, you know. Well, you know, I am actually one of the elders in oversight. If you don't know who I am, Mark Collins, one of the elders in oversight at the Living Waters Fellowship. And so now's a good time to take up our giving. So please, those people who are taking the giving, could please come. And of course, there are different ways to give. I believe that will be up on the screen there. Well, good news, folks. You want some good news? I know you've been watching the news late. Not a lot of good news, but good news. Spring is on the way. Woo! 3 weeks. I love spring. Don't you love spring? You just feel a spring in your step. The flowers blossom. The birds sing more than normal during spring. True story. You know, and it gets warmer, then the days get longer. And I love spring. So it's something to look forward to. Yes, it is. I'm getting a spring in my step. All right. I want to speak this morning to you. The title of my message is Defeating Your Giant. Defeating Your Giant. And it might be more than one giant. It might be one or two. I don't know. It all the same, but defeating your giant, because God's called you when you face a giant to defeat it, and he's going to give you all the grace and power that you need to do. For the Bible says, I'm rushing ahead of myself. There's nothing that will stand before you all the days of our lives. God said to Joshua. So am I too loud for you on a Sunday morning? I've got my outside preaching voice today. I hope if you brought your earplugs, if you don't like loud, be healed in Jesus' name. I say your giant simply because it's easier than saying the giant in your life, okay? So if you're just a little bit alert, nervous because I say your giant, that's why I do it. It's just a bit easier, okay? Now, through the message, you're going to hear me talking as if a giant is an enemy with a personality. That's because many times demons have either created the giant or are using the giant to oppose us. Okay, so that's why you'll hear that sort of talk coming from me. All right, number one, well, you know me. I always have points in my messages. Number one, a giant is something that is bigger than you. A giant is something that is bigger than you. Let's read Numbers 13. Chapter 13, verse 33, Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. Just a quick little scripture here. It says, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And so 12 spies came back from the promised land, and 10 of them says, we are like grasshoppers compared to the giants. Well, that was a little bit of an exaggeration, but there was a truth to what they were saying, is the giants were bigger than them, and they were going to need God to defeat them. And the giants we encounter in life are situations or problems that are bigger than us, and our strength and ability will not be able enough to defeat them. Giants we encounter in life are situations or problems that overwhelm us, and they are bigger than us, and our strength and ability will not be enough to defeat them. I remember one time I encountered a giant in my life. This is just one example. I encountered this giant, and it was like, oh my goodness, it was big. My heart was full of fear. In terror, most mornings, I did not want to get out of bed and face it. Most mornings, I'm not going to tell you what that giant is. That testimony is for another day. But I believe when I share that testimony in the future, many people are going to get delivered. I knew that giant was much bigger than me, and I was going to need God's help to defeat it. But let's put this in perspective this morning. I like Isaiah chapter 40, which shares, because it talks about the bigness of God. Verses 12 to 15 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counsel has taught him?" The answer is who? No one. "With whom did God take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as very little thing." Verse 22 says, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." Solomon puts it this way: the heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. Apparently, there are estimated 200 trillion galaxies. That's a good opportunity to say, wow. Milky Way is just one of them. But there are 200, but there's probably more they don't know about. 200 estimated galaxies, and they cannot contain God. To say that God is awesome and mighty is an understatement. Our God is a glorious God. You know, I was thinking just yesterday how there are hundreds of millions of Christians, and God is able to communicate with each one individually and work in their lives. You know, we're sort of fascinated and awestruck by AI, artificial intelligence. But oh, God's divine intelligence is far greater. He's a big God. He's a mighty God. He's an awesome God. Maybe it's time to make your giant smaller in front of your God. If you're encountering a giant today, yes, your giant is bigger than you. But I want to remind you today that your God is much, 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 much more bigger and powerful than your giant. And as you look to God, he will defeat it in your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, "If God be for us," if God be for us, the God who sits on the circle of the earth, the God who cannot be contained in the heavens, the God that made the universe and everything in us, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? And I want to declare to you today, God is for you, and there is no giant that will be able to stand against you. I think you thought your cat's dead or something. I promised myself I wasn't going to do this for the third time preaching, but I'm going to say this again because your response was underwhelming. It didn't match the preaching. There's something not right here. I want to declare to you today, God is for you, and there is no giant that will be able to stand against you. Well, that's better. I promised myself I wasn't going to do that, but I just had to do it. My goodness. Number two, you must face your giant to gain victory. You must face your giant to gain victory. Face means to confront, address, deal with it. It doesn't look like there's a lot of young people here today. I don't know why. Maybe they don't like my preaching. But I want, this is not going to be easy. I want all the young people between 0 and 25 to shout out really loud, you got to face it. Okay. Woo. If there was more of you, that'd be awesome. But that was good. That was good. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, we read about Lynn, I think I called you Lynn a bit, Lynn, about David and Goliath. And there were two sides. There was the Philistines on one side, and then there was the children, the Israelites on the other side, and Goliath was standing on the side of with the Israelites. And the Philistines, let's get this correct. I bind you, devil. Ooh. No. And Goliath apparently would cry out and mock Israel 40 days. And he would start in the morning, and he would then have a go at the evening. There's a message in that, isn't there? You're smart, you'll get that. Goliath was about 9 feet and 9 inches. I'm going to talk in feet and inches. I don't get meters. I always have to go back to 9 feet, 9 inches. The tallest man alive today is 8 feet and 1 inch. Yeah. The tallest man in history, not including biblical history, is 8 feet and 11 inches. That's still shorter than Goliath. One time a few weeks ago, I was in the supermarket, New World Supermarket, singing along, doing my shopping. This guy passed me. He must have been at least seven foot. I'm about 6 foot, roughly, talking it up a bit here. And then when it comes to weight, I talk it down. But, you know, I felt small compared to this guy. But he wasn't as big as Goliath. As I said, I'm about 6 foot. Goliath is about 10 foot roughly. That's 4 feet taller than me. He was big. And the Bible says that his coat was 57 kgs. You think about that. You got to think about it and see a truth in there. Goliath was not a tall, skinny pole to carry a coat of 57 kg. He had some muscle. He had some strength. Goliath was a big man. He was a big man with a big voice. And whenever he'd cry out, the Israel soldiers would be terrified. And they'd run. Man, this man, he must have been one scary dude. But David did the opposite. Instead of running from Goliath, he ran towards him, and he got out his sling, and he got out his stone, and he whacked him in the head and shut that beast up, and he fell to the ground, and David killed Goliath. One of the reasons David defeated Goliath was because he faced him. Those people of the age of 25 to 40, 50, I want you to shout it really loud. You got to face it. It's like some of you are thinking about what your age you are. Say it again. With everything you've got. That's the word of the Lord for somebody today. I always sense the call to preach. Well, I was told, I can't remember, but when I was the age 3. I was the age 3. I was told that I had to have a Bible in my hand and I'd be preaching away, you know, pretending preaching. And then when I got older, in my late teens, I walked away from the Lord. That was really dumbest decision I've made in my life. I walked away from God. And I remember I was in Dunedin City. How many people like Dunedin City? I was born in Dunedin. Woo. And I was in a nightclub called Sammy's. I don't know if you've ever been to Sammy's. You been to Sammy's? It was the most popular pit of sin in the town. And while I was there, I was drunk and I was high. And I thought to myself, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go back to God and I'm going to preach. So I always had that sense that God had called me to preach. And then in my early 20s, I received prophecies saying that I would speak to large gatherings. Well, there was a problem. I struggled to speak to one person sometimes. And then sometimes I'd be in a group of five people, and I'd be so nervous around a table. I'd be so nervous, I just wouldn't speak. I had what I called many red face moments, which I got embarrassed. Something I said, something I did. And then I got opportunities to speak. I got opportunities to preach. And my most common prayer as I walked up to the pulpit was, help! Seriously, I was so nervous. And while I was speaking and while I'm preaching, and I'm just kind of like people looking at this, but they're not hearing what's going on here. Help! I was so worried my mind was going to go blank. But you know what? Over the years, I grew in confidence. And one of the reasons was because I faced my giant of public speaking. Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's God's word for some people today. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil. Put on the belt of truth. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, all these things. Do you notice that there is no armor for the back of a person, of a believer? That's because we're not meant to run from the enemy. And we're not meant to run from our giants. Otherwise, they will always overshadow us. They will always cast a shadow over us. We will always be overcome by them. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. And God is saying to some people here today, don't run from your giant, but face it like David. Don't run from your giant. Face it like David. Confront it. Deal with it. Address it. And as you do, great will be its fall. Is it okay? Because I'm not sure. Because I just got one person clapping. And I don't know. Oh, okay. Whew. If God be for us, who can be against you? What are you facing today? God is for you. It won't be able against you. Number three, you may need a strategy from God to defeat your giant. You may need a strategy. Boy, it's hot in here. From God. To defeat your giant. You wouldn't think it was winter. You may need a strategy from God to defeat your giant. I'm going to give you a couple examples. One in the Bible and one out of my own experience. Let's read 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1 to 4. And while you're looking at that, some people still like to open their Bibles. The old days, you used to hear the papers rustling through. You used to have to wait for everybody, and then you'd say, has everybody got it? It's not even up there. Yeah, oh, here we go. Second, thank you, Margaret. You're awesome. Give Margaret a hand. Woo, thank you. Behind every great preacher is a great projection person. We appreciate you, the team that's all behind the scenes. We don't see them. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 to 4. And it happened after this that the people of Moab went with the people of Ammon and others with besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. So there are three enemy nations coming to battle against Judah. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you beyond the sea from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar." Can you imagine this? They got word that thousands and thousands of soldiers are heading their way. They were coming up against a giant. It was not an individual giant, but it was a national giant, but it applies to us. And Jehoshaphat feared. So it's okay to feel these emotions. But he didn't stop there. What did he do? And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. Now that's a good move. You got a problem that's too big for you? You got a problem that's overwhelming you? Set your face to seek the Lord and fast and wait on God. And so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And so God gave Judah a strategy to defeat their giant. Here's the strategy. Are you ready? Are you ready for the strategy? Woo, wow, you're going to be amazed. Oh, wow. You're going to say wow after this. Here's the strategy. Don't fight. Just praise the Lord. I mean, you're talking about a great army of Israel, the greatest army in the face of the earth, and God says, don't fight. Like the warriors are like, what? One. Don't fight. Praise the Lord. God says, you're not going to need to fight this battle. Just let me do it. And so Jehoshaphat put the people who would praise the Lord at the front of the army. And then when they went into the battle, these three nations fought against each other and defeated themselves. May the Lord bring confusion to your enemies in Jesus' name. Whether they're natural or spiritual, may He cause confusion amongst them that they will fight themselves. The demons will fight themselves and they will be defeated. All you need to do is wait and see the salvation of the Lord and praise the Lord because it's coming to you in Jesus' mighty name. That's a bit more than one clap. We're warming up. Whoa, shikamahanda la sokereda mahanda kiatamai. And the rest of the message, the interpretation, if you're really caught up with that sort of thing. I mentioned earlier that I encountered a giant. And after a few months, God gave me a strategy. Are you ready for this great strategy God gave me? I know you're going to think it's deep. Because I'm really deep. Not really. But you know, it's one word. One word. And it's four letters. Are you ready for this great? So I had to look at my notes to remind me what the word was. The great strategy was move. Move. In other words, God was going to give me certain things to do. And as I did them, my giant would be defeated. And God reminded me of the Red Sea. You know how the children of Israel were moving towards the Red Sea. And the Red Sea opened up. And the Pharaoh and his army were defeated. You wouldn't believe how many reels and videos I saw at that time. Preachers about the Red Sea. And just when you think, oh, it's the algorithms, I don't believe it was. But I was one time getting ready to go to church. And I like, before I go to church sometimes, I like to have my breakfast and I like to sit down and watch Charles Stanley. He's dead, but he's alive. There's an awesome technology today. And anyways, guess what he was talking about? The Red Sea. And then I came to church one time and somebody gave a word, a general word, and he talked about the Red Sea. Another time I was sitting down watching TV, very carnal I am, and God spoke to me. I now know it's God because of what happened. God spoke to me. He says, you want to know how to beat this giant? He didn't use the word giant, but that's the word I'm using this morning. He said, move. And as I heard God say move, I looked up at the TV, and on the corner of the TV was the word motion. I have that happen all the time. All the time. I'm not going to get distracted by some examples this morning. Anyway, one of the things God wanted me to do to move was to go on a ministry trip. I love my ministry trips. I can't wait to get back to the Philippines. It's in my blood. I grew up there, but it's my call. But the way what things were happening in my life, I did not want to go. And I had this battle and argument with God. I can't go. God, I can't go. There's no way I can go. Back and forth. How many know when you argue with God, you're going to lose? And guess what? I lost. And I just all of a sudden, it is the grace of God. I said, yes, I'll go, God. So I remember I was packing my bags the night before. Usually I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Woo-hoo. I didn't know what I was looking forward to. What am I looking for? Because there was so much activity of the enemy and so much going on. Anyway, you know, I just wanted to stay home. I just wanted to stay in my favorite little spot, put on my head-canceling headphones, you know? But no, I went on this trip. It was a tough trip. Believe me. Usually my trips, there's always a little bit of test. There's always. You go to a ministry trip, you're always traveling. You're always going to get that. And then when I'm finished, I love it. I can't wait to get back. But it was a tough trip, believe me. Whew. There were some good moments, but it was tough. But you know what? On that trip, I watched my giant as I moved according to the obedient strategy of God. I watched my giant get smaller and smaller and smaller. And you know, at the end, my last sermon, I was going to speak at a church. We prayed for people. All the chairs were back. And the people, one were divided to one side. And some of the people were divided to the other side. And there was nothing in the middle. And the pastor got up. I think I'm right about this. The pastor got up and he said, oh, it's like the Red Sea. There's God speaking again. God's always speaking. The question is, are you listening? The question is, are you listening to too much social media and too much of this? And your mind is so filled with so much junk. And God's speaking. Hello! Clear the clutter. Make room for God. This is what's in my notes, by the way, so it must be the Lord speaking to somebody. Clear the clutter. Clear the distractions. Get on your face with God, and speak Him for, because we're coming into a new day. Boy, that child is excited. Woo. Amen. I can hear babies. Amen. Even the babes will say amen. I came across an AI definition of biblical strategy. We don't need to worry about AI. The main thing is to remember that divine intelligence is far greater important than artificial intelligence. And we don't need to be afraid of AI, but because did you know that the church has already faced and defeated AI? Did you know that? I mean, it's a high, I don't know. It's a new preaching voice for me. Did you know that? Read your Bible in Joshua, the book of Joshua. The children of Israel faced AI and they defeated them. So don't worry. I've been waiting a long time for that one. When have you heard that before? You know, that's unique. Woo! Hey, hey, hey. But I came across an AI definition of biblical strategy, and it's like you took the words right out of my mouth. It says this, and it'll put it up on the screen, please, Margaret, wonderful Margaret, the person on the projecting. She's famous now, famous in the world. The Bible features unconventional strategies that defy logic, human planning, often achieving massive results through remarkably simple actions. These accounts highlight unexpected methods where success came from quiet obedience rather than complex military or physical might. The Bible puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Do you hear? They're not carnal. They're not of this world, but they are simple sometimes. But they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Some of you need to grab these mighty weapons of God and begin to fight your situation and fight that demonic spirit. And as you do, you will see the victory. I prophesy it to you. I declare it to you. That's what God's word says to you in the Bible. And that's what I declare to you today. You will defeat this thing in your life. You will put your foot on the ugly head of the spirit and of the situation, and you will defeat it. Your victory is imminent. Is that, I say that right? Means it's going to happen. Are all of God's strategies unusual? No, not necessarily. Sometimes they can be practical. Let me say this to you today. If you're encountering a giant in your life at this time, can I suggest to you that the first thing you do is ask God if he has a strategy. That's what Jehoshaphat did. Hello, God, just checking in. Do you have a strategy? Because I'd rather do his strategy. It's not by might nor by power, but by his, I'd rather do that thing. So check in with the Lord. It's a good thing when you're facing a situation that's difficult, that's overwhelming. Come before God. Seek his face. If God doesn't give you a strategy, it could mean two things. One, you don't need one. Just apply the principles, the truth of the Bible. Or secondly, God is saying to you, you make up one based on the word of God, based on your experience, and based perhaps on the advice of others. But I believe there are people here today, God is going to give you a strategy. And when you implement this strategy, your giant is going to come tumbling down. I don't know how people can fall asleep in my message this morning. You must have had a really short night or something. It's amazing. How can you fall asleep? Oh. Oh, dear. All right, last point. This is really quick. This is supposed to be a 25, 30-minute message. It's gone a bit longer, but that's okay. Number four. You ready? Number one is a giant is something that's bigger than you, but don't forget your God is bigger than your giant. Number two, you need to face your giant. Number three, you may need a strategy from God. Number four, you're going to like this as we're going to finish this sermon with a great encouragement. There won't be one person sleeping on this point, I tell you. Woo! This will even wake up the dead. Number four, a giant's presence is a sign that you're about to advance into your promised land. I'm excited about that because I'm facing a giant in the moment. But oh, it's beginning to topple. It's becoming unsteady on its legs. I know its defeat is near. And I know when it falls, I'll step into my promised land like I never have before. Because the giant is there for a reason. It wants to stop you from something awesome on the other side. So when you get through that giant, you're going to come into something great. For in these days, says the Lord, there shall be in the new season many giants in the land, and the earth shall fall, and it shall cause the people of God to rise and rush forward, and they will step into the call. They have not been there before, and they will step into revival and move of God like never before. One of the things that giants is opposing in this day is the revivalists, those people who move in the Holy Spirit, who seek those things. They are opposing you. They're opposing this church. But oh, they're opposing Christians around the world in ministry. But if God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Come on, church. You got to get excited about that. I'm not talking about the Iran war, the cost of living this morning. I'm preaching the gospel, and I'm saying to you today, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for you, who can be against us? If God be for this church, who can be against us? If God said, build a building, we'll build a building. If God says you're going to have a move, we will have a move. If God says we're going to have babies, we're going to have babies. Spiritually, I'm talking about. If God says that hot rocks are going to go from this place, hot rocks will go from this place. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who? What? There isn't a devil in hell that can stand before you. If God be for you, oh, you can't stand against one demon. I guarantee it'll kill you. Honestly, well, it takes one demon to knock you out without God. But if God be for us, there can be a host of hell. But I'm marching through, and you shall be defeated in the name of Jesus. Man, I haven't even got to the points. Oh. Oh, my gosh. That's only the title. As Christians, the promised land can represent the prophecies, vision, or calling God has specifically given you. I use the word advance because usually we possess our promised land in phases. But get ready for some of you. There's going to be a hop, skip, and a jump right into your promises of God. You're going to make a big stride. You're used to doing this sort of thing. Wee, 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 wee. But no, in the days, in this new season, you're going to advance. Ooh, big time, big time, big strides. Like my dramatization? Thank you, I thought so too. Amen. Yeah. It's not that bad. It's not that bad, kid. This is short. I'm just about finished. Giants often appear just before we're about to advance into our promised land. I've found this to be the case many times. I'm about ready to advance into my promised land and the calling and the vision of God. And then suddenly, a giant, a big ugly giant appears. I've had times where I've prophecies and but all the great things that God is going to do in the next few years. I always get nervous when I get prophecy, and then suddenly a giant appears. This is what happened to the first generation of Israel. Back in those days, there was no such thing as Gen Z, Gen X. There was only Gen 1 and Gen 2. Generation 1, Generation 2. And that's what happened the first generation of Israel. They're about ready to possess the promised land, and then giants appeared. If you are encountering a giant today, be encouraged. What? Is this guy crazy? See, that giant, that situation would like to discourage you, to bring you down and decide. But he doesn't realize that on his head, he's got a sign. He's got, I'm a sign. That giant, he doesn't realize on his forehead, there is a sign. You blooming giant, you're a sign to me. Be encouraged. Why? Because it's a sign that you're about to advance into your promised land like never before. That giant is a sign that you're about to advance into your vision and calling like never before. You know, I know it's a corny cliche. I don't want to start preaching because it's so good. I mean, the Holy Spirit's so good. That's what I'm saying. Honestly, it's him. You know that. I know that's God. What was I going to say? Oh. I know it's a corny kind of cliche thing. It's a corny word. The best is yet to come. But I truly believe that the best is yet to come. That my greatest days are yet ahead. That what I'll experience in the days ahead are nothing compared to what I experienced in my life in those days. But I tell you what, I declare to you today, the best is yet to come. Your greatest days are not behind you, they're ahead of you. And I want to declare, while I'm at it, I want to declare something to this church. The greatest days for this church are ahead. They are not behind, they are ahead. The vision has not yet been reached, but it shall come. Rise and build is the proclamation to the people of God. Build the building, rise and build it. The host, the place for my presence, God says, will move in power in the best living waters. The best is yet to come. So you can be encouraged in your life and in this church. You can be encouraged. Your heart can be filled with joy, even though what you're facing. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? I don't want to stop preaching, because when you get in that anointing, you just don't want to stop. I just got to keep going until the anointing dries out. Because you know this morning what's good about it. You know that. It's not me. Yes, I worked hard, but it's him. You know that. He's speaking. Don't you love it when he speaks through a preacher? Don't you love it when God speaks through a man or a woman and the word of the Lord is declared? So take the word of God this morning and face that thing in your life, address it, confront it, deal with it by the grace of God, defeat it in Jesus' name. Let's stand at our feet this morning. Can I please have the whole band, worship team, to come up, the whole lot of you. Oh, now I'm so hot. I now know why some of these preachers, they have cloths, because they're sweating because of the anointing. Ha ha ha, it was supposed to be funny. Is it Jacob on the drums? Elijah, that's what I said, Elijah. Elijah, you're doing well on those drums. Ooh. Ooh. As you banged them, man, I could just, that anointing was on it. Woo! Keep going with that thing. Keep banging those sticks and keep following the Lord, Elijah. Elisha, Elijah. Elisha, Elijah. What? Eli. Eli, Eli. Eli, Eli, Eli. I'll get it eventually. Keep pursuing the Lord, Eli. Who knows what God may do through you? Thank you, Jesus. Great. We know it's great things. That much we do know. Well, you guys can start playing now if you want. Oh, thank you, Lord. If God be for us, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus, you're not a Christian, you're struggling with something, and what you realize is a lot bigger than you. You weren't meant to fight this thing on your own. You were meant to fight it and go through life with God. And today, you can come to know God, you can have His presence, you come to know Jesus. He'll walk with you and help you through all the things you go through in life. And as you ask Jesus into your life, you will have this thing called eternal life, which means you'll never die. You might die in your body, but you'll live forever. That's so exciting. Is anybody here, before we move on, is anybody here says, I want to ask God in my life. I want to ask Jesus in my life. Just raise your hand, nice and quick. Anybody here today? Anybody here would say, I want to ask Jesus in my life. I want to ask God into my life. Thank you, Jesus. At this stage, I don't feel to ask people to come up the front to pray for people, but we do want to pray for people this morning. If you're here today and you're up against a giant, and you say, Mark, I need some prayer. I need some encouragement. Can you just lift up your hand? Does anybody like that? Okay, if you don't mind, just keep it right up. And if you don't mind, guys, lift it right high. Can I ask the people that are around them, if you don't mind, guys, some of the prayer team, just to go around those people. And please keep your hands up. It's quite a few people. Let's gather around them. Come on, people. Let's gather around them. And let's begin to pray for them. Thank you, team. Thank you, Jesus. Strengthen them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let the power of God be released today in the name of Jesus. Delivering power. Strengthening power. Thank you, Jesus. Enabling power. Let strategies be dropped down in people's hearts and minds to down in Jesus' name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Here come Mahanda. Oh, Makaya Mahanda. Oh, Makamanda. The grace for victory to be released now in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. Come on. Come on. Here it comes. The foes will be silent. He's fighting for Zion. His eyes are like fire. Let's sing this together if you can. Let's sing this together. Sing it together. Come on, people. Let's sing it together. Woo. Jehovah Nissi, fight your battle. Come on! Woo. Yes, Lord. Heals your body. We release healing now in the name of Jesus.
Excellent. Hallelujah. Let's lift it up. Just give God praise. Thank you, Father, for what you've done here this morning, Lord God. Thank you for your word as it's been preached. Take that word, if that's this week, if you're facing a giant, seek God for a strategy through it. And we want to hear the testimonies of the overcoming. We want to hear the testimonies of the coming out the other side. So feed those back as they happen. So enjoy some fellowship, tea and coffee out there, and have a fantastic week. Have a great life, as Wes would say.